Morning, everybody. What a privilege it is to be with all of you today. Arlene and I had this past week our 40th wedding anniversary. You really need to applaud her. I asked her, love, would you do it all again? And she hesitated. And we got into a big fight. And then, no, that's not true. 40 years with me will cause anybody to hesitate, so. But what a dear human being that God has privileged me to share the last 40 years of life with. I love her dearly. Well, Jesus teaches to pray. If you've not been with us, maybe you're visiting today. It's a series that we've been in these last few weeks. And it is just simply really a question. But if you remember in week one, it's sort of a prayer. Because you never become a master of prayer, ever. You only become one who keeps coming to the master and just knowing that there's more. And so I heard Cheryl just did such an outstanding job, her boat did last weekend. So it's my honor for us to continue on. And I want to just deal with one little aspect about prayer today. Because I've discovered that people who pray, they do so from a conviction, a settled conviction that we find expressed in a prayer in the Scriptures. So you have it in your bulletin. A common text was provided from Ephesians chapter 3. But I want you to just follow along as I read. And I want you to look for and listen for this praying kind of conviction. Okay? So here we go. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, now this is the Apostle Paul who is writing. This is his prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you will be rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. All right, now, here is the conviction. All right, the conviction is just simply this. To him who is able. God is able. Now, he's able to do what? He's able to do whatever he needs to do to accomplish his ultimate purposes. Nothing will stop this God. There is no problem. There is no obstacle that ever leaves him puzzled. Our God is able. But before we go much further, though, we've got to be really honest about something. And it's this. There are plenty of things in my life that did not turn out as I think they should have turned out. There were all kinds of things that were just wrong. They were not the way they should be. And I prayed. I prayed earnestly. And they not only didn't improve, they got worse. And if I was to read the circumstances, I would have to be honest and conclude and tell you, I'm not all that sure that God is able. But I want to remind you that this prayer, very important, is being prayed from the heart of a man who is in prison and who is awaiting to die a martyr's death. He does not pray out of the great riches of Christ. You know, I get out of every mess that I get myself into. I get everything that I want. It all turns out the way that I think it should be. Now, his confident conviction was the same whether he was in the big house or he was sitting in the top floor of the penthouse. He lives his life in the care of God because he's come to believe it is settled with him. His conviction is this: God is able. Our God is able. Now, no matter where you are in your journey of faith, as it relates to prayer, whether you're sort of a newbie or an old salty veteran, it really makes no difference. The Bible says that to continue being a person of prayer, there is one thing that you must know about this God, and it is this. We read it. Now, to him who is able to do and to work. Now, as I read this and began to think about it for our time together, I thought, that's a whole lot of words to just say God is able. Why in the world doesn't the writer just simply say that, get to the point, God is able, and then move on? But it's like he's wearing this whole idea out. It's like he's wringing the thing dry. It's like, look, just say it and move on. Why does he use so many words to just say this one thing? And this thought came to me, which I think is helpful. There is a bent in me. There is a leaning, a constant leaning in me to always underestimate the ability of God and to overestimate my own capacity. And so I think Paul just has to go after this 100 different ways to convey the ability of our God. He is able. To him who is able to do and to work. So just a couple of just really quick thoughts, all right? First of all, God is not some passive heavenly bystander who has chosen to sit in the last seat of the bleachers and just watch this whole thing go by. You need to know that God is active and involved. But Paul says, you've got to go even further. This God is even bigger. He is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask. This God really cares about your life today. In this moment, there is not a single thing about your life that is unimportant to this God. You won't pray if you don't believe this. But this God is even bigger. He's not only able to do what we ask, but what we imagine and what we forget to ask for. But he's still even bigger than this. He is not just generally able to do what we ask or imagine, but he says to do all that we ask or imagine. But he's still not done. He is able to do immeasurably, exceedingly, abundantly. He just, now Paul is just making stuff up. It's like he's got a thesaurus out and he's just looking for synonyms. All to try and to convey the competency of this God. There is nothing this God can't do. Now I know we'll say amen, we're all in church. But we need to sit with this one for just a moment. We live in a culture whose worldview is this. Reality is moved forward by human force. What makes the world go round? Who makes this world go round? We do. It is economic, political, scientific, and educational human power that makes this world go round. It is human strength and savvy and sweat. And that worldview, even if you believe in a God, he will be a very, very small God at best. In fact, that view will remove God from its conversation. It's where we increasingly find ourselves as a society. And you won't pray. You won't pray. You're going to pray to a little tiny God? But if you come to believe that there is a God who is able, you will pray and you will not stop. See, this world pollutes your thinking about God. And it's why we must continually come to meet him and know him in the scriptures. So we're going to take just the last remaining moments and we're going to do what Paul did. I'm just going to beat this thing up to tell you one thing. Our God is able. Five things that I want you to know. First, all the physical universe comes into being because God willed it to be so. Our God is able to simply say, let there be, and it exists. Let there be light, and light exists. What kind of being has that kind of power? In the field of science, there are many who still conclude that everything that is has a cause, has a beginning, has a reason. So the greater the universe, the greater then is the being who created that universe. Our God is able to create the universe. But see, the idea in our culture is that we live in a vast, infinite, big universe. And if there's a God at best, he's very, very small. But the Bible says, oh, no, 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 no. There is a vast, infinite God who it will take all eternity, by the way. Every single day will just explode with new revelations about this God for all eternity. That's how vast and how infinite and how deep is this God. The Bible says, no, there is a huge God who created a very small universe. Disney was right all along. It's a small world after all. See, this God is far bigger than the universe that he created. And that is not some hypothesis, friend. That is reality this day. Secondly, our God is able to interact with and suspend the laws of nature anytime he wants because he is not subject to Mother Nature. He is Father Nature. He created the whole deal. There's a program on TV. It's called Mysteries of the Bible. And if you've ever seen it, they always give some reason. Oh, I get it. That's why. There's just certain things aligned. There was a collision of certain things. And natural causes created that, and it's in the Bible. And I watched that program, I think, wait a minute, are you telling me enter into this infinite God in the picture? This God is not able to part any body of water that he wants, that he created. So his purposes, if his children can walk across on dry land, are you telling me that this God who created all of the laws of nature can't stand in the face of a storm and say, peace, be still? See, this God, he is Lord of all time. When Israel needs a longer day to finish a very strategic battle that they were in, God can just lengthen any day he wants. He created all the hours. It's all his time. It's all his day. This is the day the Lord has made. And remember the picture of Moses. His fight in this battle is such a beautiful picture of prayer. He's assigned to go up on a little hill and for his hands to be raised. And it's this picture of prayers that are continually being lifted before God. But go stand somewhere and try to raise your hand for, leave them up for hours on end. And remember, Aaron and Hur come along to hold up his arms so that prayer can continually be lifted before God. Our God is able to make a day last as long as he wants to work his purposes. Our God is able. Our God is able to make the walls of a great city named Jericho crumble at the sound of marching trumpeters. He's able to make a young shepherd boy named David capable to defeat the giant Goliath. He is able to make a drought cause a flood and paint a rainbow in the sky as a promise that he will be faithful. Our God rules over all of nature. One of my favorite stories in all the Bible is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 5. It's the story of a guy named Naaman. Naaman was not even an Israelite. He was an Aramean, and he was a great military commander known all over that part of the world. He's an important man, but he's also a very arrogant man. And one day he notices that there is something out of the ordinary on his skin. There's a spot. He has leprosy. It's a death sentence. That's the human condition, by the way. Real powerful people in this world become so impressed with themselves. And they live under an illusion that I am the master of the destiny of my life. That I am absolutely in control of all things. That I am totally able until one day, and everybody has this one day, there's a spot. Naaman's going to die. Because he is absolutely powerless. Now he's going to end up going to Israel. Naaman went to nobody but himself. He's going to go to Israel of all things and to the home of a prophet whose name is Elijah. He had heard rumors about a God in Israel who was able even to heal. Naaman finally arrives with this great entourage to the home of Elijah. Now he needs help, but he never asks for help. One thing he's going to have to discover, and one thing that you're going to have to discover, you're not that able. He asks to see Elijah, and there are some lessons that Naaman must learn before he can come to this God who is able. Elisha doesn't even come out of his house. Everybody, when Naaman comes near, everybody falls all over themselves to be in his presence. Elijah doesn't even crack the door. But he sends out a servant boy from his house. He says to Naaman, the prophet wants you to know that God has spoken, and you need to go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Now, for some of us who were just in Israel, the Jordan is the most unimpressive river you will ever see. It is more like a muddy little creek than anything. In fact, it's generous to call it a river. And Naaman is absolutely outraged and offended at these instructions. He says, of all things, the prophet of this God who is able, he should have come out and met me personally. He could have waved his hands and done whatever his spiritual stuff is, and he could have healed me on the spot. But he's so puffed up about his importance. He so believes that he is able. And then he goes off on a tirade. From where I'm from in Damascus, there are really impressive rivers there. I could have just stayed home and washed in impressive rivers. And then one of his military guys gets up close and just says, you know, Naaman, let's you and I do an options assessment analysis for a moment. Naaman, here is your reality. And let me just say, this is my reality, and this is your reality today. Remember the words of Jesus? Apart from me, you can do nothing. You are not able. He will finally humble himself and dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And he does, and in this case, he's healed because our God is able. See, our God is not limited by anything. Our God is able to deliver Daniel from a lion's den, Joseph from Pharaoh's prison, David from Saul's anger, Israel from Egyptian slavery. He's able to deliver Esther from Haman's genocidal fury, Elijah from Jezebel, and Paul from a Philippian jail. And let me just ask this morning, anybody here need any kind of help? Anybody here need any kind of deliverance? Well, I want you to hear these words one more time. Our God is able. But he's able to do even more. Thirdly, our God is able to provide. He gave food from heaven for 40 years to feed his children. Gave them manna. He gave water from a rock. He assigns, of all things, a raven to feed Elijah by a brook. He was able to take the small lunch of a young boy who came to a great meeting of thousands, and with that little lunch, feed everyone who was there and send them all home with doggy bags as well. My God is able to meet every single need. But he's even more able than that. The fourth thing, this God is able to change any human life. He is able to soften the hard heart of Pharaoh in order to let his people go. He is able to strengthen the frightened heart of Gideon. He is able to turn a zealot named Saul into a self-sacrificing missionary named Paul. And he is able to make an impulsive denier named Simon into a rock, into a solid man, the likes upon which the church would be built. Our God is able to change any life. Our God is able to forgive any sin. And friend, that's the human condition. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short, and none of us can pay the debt of our own sin. Our biggest problem is we don't see the severity of our sin. Our God is able, only our God is able, to become fully God and fully man, so that in Christ Jesus, in an act of self-sacrificing love, he could purchase our pardon. Only this God is able to forgive sin. Our God has the power to take any man, any woman who is trapped and entrenched and stuck in habits of addiction and give to them the gift of sobriety. Our God is able to take any marriage that seems like it is over and put the pieces back together again. Our God is able to take any checkered past and make that person a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our God is able to come along any family, any person who has experienced unimaginable loss, and to give them faith for the future with a kind of hope, knowing that death in this life will never get the last word. And our God is able to give wisdom to those who are confused, and he's able to breathe hope into those who are despairing. Our God is able to raise Christ Jesus from the dead. Our God is able. And fifth and lastly, our God is able for you. For you. The same power that created the universe resides in you, Paul says. He's big enough to run the universe, and he's small enough to dwell inside you. Paul says, I pray that you will have power. Power to what? Power to fix all the stuff of your life, to get everything that you want. No, power to understand how high and how deep and how wide and how long is his love for you. See, I'm not even capable on my own to comprehend the love of God. If he doesn't help me, I'll never even get that one thing straight. Our God is love. He is incapable of petty and mean. God cannot not love. It's never about how lovable we become. It's only about how loving that God is. I'm praying for you to grasp the greatness of his love for you, because it's his love that is the power that changes our lives. Our God is able to do what no one else can do. So this week, we're going to practice what Paul did. And we're going to pray because our God is able. What makes the world go round? Who makes the world go round? It is our God. And so we pray. Will you pray? Will you lay your greatest concerns before him? And here's the prayer. Here's the prayer. It's very simple. Lord, I don't know much, but there's one thing I do know. You are able. Now, I got a little head start on you this entire past week. I did not realize how much I needed this sermon. And I found myself energized in prayer this week. And there was just all kinds of stuff that I ran into. In fact, I'm ashamed to tell you some stuff I just literally quit praying about. It's just, whatever you do, you do. But I've been staring at those things afresh. And just, here's all I've said. God, you are able. That's all I need to say. I don't have any more words. It doesn't get any fancier than that for me. It's just, God, you are able. And we will pray for ourselves. And oh, we will pray for one another. Life groups, can I tell you, one of the most important things that you can do as you gather together is just pray in the able name of our God for each other. Pray for our church, pray for our city, pray for our world. And what if thousands of us would agree together that our God is able? What might happen in apartments and homes and neighborhoods and schools and workplaces and coffee shops? We could flood this city with prayer. If we will live in this conviction that our God is able. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at this moment at work within you. The only thing you can say, what a God, to him be glory in the church, both now and forevermore, for all generations. Amen and amen and amen. Our God is able. Comments.